Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to be talking about project management. And the reason we're doing this is because just about everything you do in IT is a project. Everything you do in security is a project, or almost everything. And we're trying to do more projects here for ourselves. And one of the things I realized this year is that I don't really understand how to manage a project. And I think that that's true of a lot of people in IT. We're not project managers, but we have lots of projects that we have to do. And so I thought, okay, this year we need a process for that. And so I went on to Reddit, asked a bunch of questions about how to start, you know, a project, do project management, what are the basics? And one of the books that was recommended is something called Project Management for the Unofficial Project Manager. And this is a book that I had just purchased on Amazon, and it's pretty awesome because it breaks things down into a way that makes sense and you can understand them. It's not for project managers, so it doesn't have the complete process that you might have in traditional project management, but it gives you the basics and it has lots of examples in there. And again, once I read this, it was like you just clicked. Now I'm about halfway through the book, so I don't have the whole process figured out yet. But again, so far, this has been amazing because things are starting to make more sense to both of us.
But this book is not for a project manager. It's for somebody that's not a project manager to try to help you understand or help you put a project together to get what you need to get done.
Exactly. So here's what I've learned so far. And this is in the beginning of the book. So we have goals, risk assessment, and work breakdown structure. And these three things are super important to getting your project started. And so far, we've only learned about these three things. We don't have all of them figured out yet, but just knowing these three things has helped us a lot. And we've used this for our patch management process. We used that on that project, and it helped a lot. Because if we didn't have this, we wouldn't have been able to accomplish what we've done so far.
Well, even those three little things, I mean, we went from kind of not having a defined way, you know, to what we wanted to accomplish to kind of focus the project and actually get some things done.
Exactly. And so one of the issues that I see a lot is that people think they're managing a project when they're not. They're managing tasks. And one of the issues that I see that we have is that when I come up with a complicated project for us to work on, and most of them are complicated, even the small ones are complicated, it's hard for me to break it down into manageable chunks that we can both look at and understand. And I think this was the first time that we've been able to do that, to where both of us can look at individual pieces of the project and we can both comment on that and have a discussion about that, because we never used to be able to do that. And so we're going to use our patch management process as an example of how this works. So let's start off with goals. Let's explain what that is. So when you're starting the project, you want to have a goal, and the goal is going to be there to tell you what you want to accomplish. What kinds of things do we want out of this project? How do we know we've achieved the right things? And this is super important, because if you don't have this, you're not going to know what to do next, right? Like, where do you start? How do you know those are things that are going to, you know, take you to where you want to be? And in our patch management project, originally what I wanted to do was think about our Windows or our Dell XPS 13s, because those are brand new. We wanted to set them up. We wanted to make sure they had the right software and all that kind of stuff on there. But then I realized we need to take a step back and make this a project about something a little different. So instead of just looking at the Dell XPS 13, I decided to make it about patching Windows 10. And then we're going to patch our third-party applications. And then we want to simplify the patching process, because our previous attempts at patch management were terrible. None of them worked. And eventually we would just stop using those processes because they were just too hard to follow. I mean, it would take us weeks to figure out if anything was patched. So these are our goals: patching Windows 10, patching third-party applications, and simplifying the process. And then when we go into the risk assessment piece, this is where you begin to look for potential risks within the project. Or, you know, and for me, whenever I do an IT project, I'm thinking about loss of data, damaging a system, maybe damaging hardware. So in our patch management project, we didn't think too much about this because we were kind of learning the process as we went along. But we put data loss as sort of low priority or not really that big of a risk because we have on our Dell XPS 13s, at least, we have a lot of data that's in the cloud, right? It's in OneDrive.
Well, and that was the whole thing of the risk assessment. You know, we knew that if we lost that data, we had a way to recover it. So that's kind of how we ended up making it, you know, a low item. It wasn't really a big deal because, like you said, things are in the cloud. Worst case scenario, we make whatever change we make, lose the data, but we can recover it.
Exactly. And then damaging a system, we figured we could put the system back together by just reinstalling things. In Azure AD, there's a way to, it's actually Endpoint Manager. You can go in there and you can just tell it to reset the system and it'll reinstall Windows for you. So we have a way to go back to something that works for us. But later on, what we did is we were talking about this and something we should have had in the original project, which was not in there, but we were thinking about this after the fact, is thinking about bad patches. And how do we deal with a bad patch? Because that's going to break a system. And so how do we minimize the chance that we're going to have a bad patch? And while we didn't have this in our risk assessment, we do have this kind of built in further down the road when we think about our patch schedule, right? So instead of patching on Patch Tuesday, we patch a week after Patch Tuesday. Why? Because we want to let those patches sort of sink in a little bit, have people use them, test them, and if Microsoft sees there's a problem with those patches, maybe they fix them before we get them. So we're looking at the risk assessment part and then building into our project, our process, a way to minimize the chance of data loss, bad patches, broken systems, and we have ways in which we can recover. So that's how your risk assessment works. You want to sort of minimize the risk of doing damage down the road. So let's talk about the work breakdown structure. And this one's kind of interesting because this is where the work starts to get done. And what you're looking for here are the big picture items. So you're going to do a mind map and you have deliverables, and then underneath that you have tasks. So in our case, what we did is we put patching in the center of the page. So we take out like a blank piece of paper, and in the middle of the page, you're going to put in, for us, we're going to put in patching, and we have Windows 10, third-party apps, simple, and you draw a circle around that. And then you have lines going off of that where you have your deliverables. So we have OS patching, we have third-party apps. Those are deliverables, things we want to accomplish in this particular project. And then underneath those, we have tasks. So we may have a task like OS patch policy, OS patch schedule, and then for the third-party apps, we may have a third-party app inventory because we need to know what we have in order to make sure we're patching that. So that's kind of how things are broken down. So if we review this, you have your goal. In our case, we want to patch Windows 10, third-party apps. We want this thing to be simple. And then for risk assessment, you're trying to identify potential issues with the project where you're going to damage things, lose data. You get a bad patch in this case. So you want to avoid that. In our case, our patch schedule is such that we allow those patches to be out there for a bit before we accept them. And then with your work breakdown structure, this is where you begin to define things you have to do and the tasks that go along with that to achieve that goal. It's kind of like a mini goal where you have your deliverables.
Well, you break it down into smaller steps to simplify the process. And then, you know, you get that part done and then you can move to the next part until you get to your goal.
Exactly. And so for me, if we think about how big a deal this is for me, you know, when we were doing projects before, it was hard for me to sort of explain to you what I was trying to accomplish because I didn't have a list of deliverables. I didn't have a list of tasks that went with a deliverable.
And you didn't have really a specific goal. You knew you wanted to get something done in a certain area, but you really didn't define the outcome where you wanted to be when you got done with the project.
Exactly. And I've seen that a lot where people,
I mean, the biggest joke we had at Section 9 was like, how can two people complicate the process as much as we do? I mean, because it was like the more we did, the more we had to do.
Exactly. And I've seen this a lot where You know, you're working on a project and the project is set up laptops. The project is install Office 365. The project is build a server. Well, why are you building a server? And then if you're going to install 365, how are you going to do that for you know, 100 people, 180 people, 200 people? Because I've been in that kind of situation. And in that particular case, it wasn't really, there were no defined goals in that project. You know, like maybe we can have a goal of deploying it on some people first, other people later. Maybe we can have a goal of, you know, how are we going to automate the process? None of that was talked about. And so when it came time to actually deploy 365, it became a nightmare because people had no idea that they wanted it automated. Somebody who was supposed to be in charge of the project thought we were going to walk around to all the machines and just install Office.
Well, and I think that when you have a task, because I think a lot of IT departments that, you know, they're like, you got to get this done. And it's thought of as a task, not really a project. And there is no management involved in it. When you have 20 things that you need to get done and you're just trying to get them all done at the same time, I think, you know, the managing of the project for me works because when we break it into small pieces, then we're able to focus on, okay, how do we do this? Get it done. Okay, next part, how do we do that? Get it done. And for me, I'm retaining a lot more on how to do the process and I'm learning more about the process and the things that need to be done. And then when you get that part of the work area done, it's really satisfying to just kind of, you know, hey, okay, we got this accomplished, and you can actually see how far you are in the project. So if your boss were to come to you tomorrow and say, where are you at on this? You can say, well, I just got this done and I got to do this, that, and the other. And, you know, they'll be able to tell that, okay, you understood what I'm asking you to do. You have this project going on. You know where you're at in the project and you know what you have left to do. So to me, I think this is really valuable and it's really made a big difference on us getting done our projects a little bit faster and easier, don't you think?
Exactly. And everything you said is totally true, because that's what happened with our patch management process. And I've been looking at other projects for ourselves, some things I'm doing for work, and being able to sit down, have goals, have a risk assessment, do a work breakdown, that's huge, because that speeds up the process.
And not only that, when you do that, you know what you have, you know where your network is at or your device or whatever. You know where you need to get it to. So you're actually getting more familiar with the thing you're working with.
Exactly, exactly. And so I'm trying to apply this to several projects I'm working on right now. Some of them are for us. Some of them are for us and work, because there's overlap there. So we're going to be talking about this a fair amount, because I think it's super important. And one of the things that I'm learning from this that I find kind of interesting is that risk assessment process. You know, on the Cisco side, when we use that Cisco network lifecycle, the big thing was to avoid damaging existing systems and having a backout plan. But in this case, I think the risk assessment is a little bit broader, in that you can identify more things that could be potential risks other than just saying, oh, I have a backout plan. And that, to me, for some of the things that I've been working on, one of the things that I have to do at work and for us as well is implementing BitLocker drive encryption. And so what I've learned is that, you know, as I go and get ready to deploy, I'm thinking about what could break, what could get damaged. Is there any chance of data loss? And so what I'm realizing is that if the drive encryption doesn't work properly, you need a way to get out of that, right? So they have a way to decrypt, that's great. But what happens if your decryption process doesn't work? Well, now you need to have OS recovery, right? So that Cisco network lifecycle rollback plan is nice, but it doesn't incorporate all these things. Like, I need to have a way of rebuilding that system. So when I go to the customer and I say, okay, hey, we're going to get ready to deploy drive encryption, there's lots of risk involved. Are you okay if this thing fails and we have to rebuild the laptop? Because that could potentially be an issue. If something goes wrong, it's partially encrypted and you can't unencrypt. So now you have to have a plan for reinstalling the operating system, reinstalling all the applications.
Well, and you already told the client ahead of time, if this happens, this is the time that you're going to have lost for us to be able to put this back together.
Exactly. And so you're identifying things before you break them mm-hmm. that, hey, there's a chance of something bad happening here. And that to me is huge, because that's the one thing that I think in IT where I get nervous, because you're always afraid when you go to work for a customer, even if it's somebody within your own organization, because you do corporate IT. What happens if you damage that person's workstation? What happens if it's a manager's workstation or laptop or what have you, and you damage that? Well, that's a big deal. So understanding those risks ahead of time allows you to plan for that and notify people, hey, if this goes bad, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be down for a couple of days. Are you okay with that? Or do we need to reschedule? Right? You can ask those kind of questions because you've thought about that.
Well, and another thing, I think it makes it easier to implement security, like our critical security controls. When you're doing a project like that, it's something that you can always check. Like when you were talking about the third-party apps, you know, the inventory of the third-party apps, knowing what you have, you know, that's something that you're like, in order for you to patch them, you need to know what you have. Well, that right there, if you have an inventory of your third-party apps, you know what you got. If you have anything rogue in there, you're going to be able to see it. So I think that for security purposes, it kind of gives you a visibility that perhaps is kind of obscured when you don't have a plan and you don't really even think about having an inventory of your third-party apps.
Yeah, and I think this is all good stuff, and I need to read the book so I can finish. And what we're missing is a way in which you can create things like timelines. So you can have deadlines on your deliverables and your tasks. And then you kind of know, oh, hey, this is going to take us a month, and here's how it's going to break down. You know, we're going to get this done the first week. This is the second week. This is the third week. And this is the final end of the month. So this is when we're going to finish. You can do those kind of things.
Well, and not only that, if you're working in an environment where you have clients, and it'd be a lot easier for you to be able to let them know, yes, we'll be able to do this for your network. This part is going to take this long. It's going to cost this much, let's say. And then you prepare the client for some of those things. And then they can actually have confidence in you saying, okay, this guy knows what he's doing because he knows how long it's going to take to do this. He explained that to me.
Exactly, exactly. And so we're going to have more examples of this, because I've got other projects I'm working on that I need to explain to you so you kind of understand what's going on there. And I think it's going to be good. But I think that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can send us an email at support@section9.us. If you want to take a look at the show notes, you can go to our website at section9.us. And if you haven't listened or subscribed to our podcast, please do so. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.